and 5, 4, 3. What up, y'all? Welcome to Here's the Thing. I'm Kev on stage. She's
that chick, AJ.
Welcome to another podcast episode. Smash that like button. Smash that. Subscribe button. Bang. Oklahoma City this weekend, and then the crew is on the tour of the Midwest: Columbus, Cincinnati, Toledo, Indianapolis.
I didn't think we were going to
Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Indianapolis.
Ooh, tickets available at all of those shows right now. Shall we begin? Angel, any announcements on your side of the desk?
I'm sure there was one. I don't remember, but so glad we got Josh back.
Josh, Mr. Worldwide, Mr. Pitbull. Oh, we're so tired, guys. Uh-huh. But no, I'm not so tired because I'm going to Philadelphia for James Cole's show. I'm going to Brooklyn, hang out with Amir. I'm going to City Field for Rolling Loud. I'm going to Maverick City Tour Arena.
He's got a great
I'm going to get a New York slice at Sbarro.
Sbarro, the
yeah.
Isn't that the thing in the mall?
No,
the
Angel. That's where you get a New York slice.
New York slice.
Oh, okay. Remember Michael Scott? Come on, man. I thought you watched The Office.
I do.
He was like, I want to go to New York slice. And then they revealed it was Sbarro.
But you got to understand, y'all watched it late. I watched it in the original, so it's been some better years. Than us. I
am. We also watched it more times. You probably just watched it once, and then you had to go to work at angelbooks.com.
Yes, you are correct. I want y'all to know that I get these people Starbucks every day, and typically I do get food and a drink, but based off of the energy behind the food, I was just like, they don't really like the Starbucks food, so I won't buy it anymore because it looks like they're forcing themselves to eat it. This man sat up here and said, so you didn't get food?
Angel's trying to make us healthy.
Yes.
She was getting the egg bites, the little egg bites. I don't know
like
them.
You said you didn't like the turkey sandwich
yeah,
either.
But I got the peanut butter and jelly sandwich from Starbucks.
I'm not going to get that.
What kind of friend is you to get you what you want me to have and not what I want?
I'm going to get you what you want within the parameters of what you need.
No, you're going to give me what you want me to buy.
You need the protein box. You need fruit cheese?
Why can't I have peanut butter and jelly? It's healthy. It's nuts.
It is not. When? It is nothing but sugar and more bread and sugar.
Grains. You need that. It's got apples. Uh-huh. It's got carrots. Mm-hmm. Chocolate covered raisins. It's in the box.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, okay. I'll get it for you.
Don't you take that peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yes, exactly. What's going to happen?
Pre-take out the sandwich.
I'll take that goddamn old sandwich out and put some carrots and some celery. That's exactly what I do.
By the way, a quick question. I was looking at the Kev on Stage YouTube Studios page. This is just for everybody who watches on YouTube. Since I started adding the studios clips to the YouTube page, it seems like all the views have gone down. Does YouTube send out less notifications if you put more stuff out? Because I feel like when it was just Here's the Thing only, the views were higher, but now it's 6 or 7 other things, the views are lower. I didn't talk to you guys about this, but I'm considering moving Here's the Thing to Kev on Stage page just because there's less activity on there. Uh-huh. Because the studios page would need to like tell people about the app. But when it's so many clips, I think YouTube does not notify you if you put too many things out.
Oh, okay.
They used to notify you a lot. And they say if you do anything less than 1 or 3 a day, they'll notify you. But I don't think they notice. I don't think they notice that.
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
But I do get confused sometimes when I am notified of what I'm being notified of. And it might be that people think they're being notified of a full episode. And then when it hasn't happened multiple times, they might just be like, no, I don't even know what it is.
Pretty much everybody who's watching is saying they don't get notifications. Okay, YouTube is inconsistent with the notifications. I also wonder if people are watching on people on Patreon are watching, and then you can also watch it on the app before it drops.
Yeah.
And I wonder if people are doing that. Because it's on the app the night before, and I don't know reason why you would go watch it on YouTube after that. So, anyway, okay. A lot of people are just saying they don't get notifications, even though they haven't turned on. That means it's something on YouTube that I can't control. Okay. First things first.
Come on.
Our Patreon had actually asked us to talk about this the first time it started going viral, but we didn't. The beginning of this was Brittany Renner. Are you familiar?
Was that the girl? Have we talked about her before?
We talked about her, but I don't think we actually did.
Okay, then no.
So she was in the news a month or two ago, maybe, about trapping PJ Washington, who was a basketball player. Mm-mm. So yesterday she went on Academics' podcast to clear the air and cussing.
Put me to work.
So this one, she's talking about being a side chick.
Okay.
Men with a lot.
I thought everybody had you as a side chick. I'm going to be honest. I thought everybody else had you as a side chick. And he, listen, in a male community, we know the chase is like, yo, that side chick. And then we know the dumb nigga who wipes up the side chick. And we're like.
So what makes me a side chick? Because what? I'm beautiful?
No, because the one who everybody but doesn't wife, that's a side chick. Sorry.
So who have I been side chick?
Book.
Whoever been a side chick, but I was never a side chick.
Well, when you write a book about having casual sex, and by the way, not one of them claimed you. We assume, you know why men don't claim women? Because we have our real girl that we don't want to tell about you.
He has no...
You know that.
I've cashed out.
Okay, so Angel said, who's she, Booty Tay? Mm-hmm. I mean, not Angel said that. Somebody said that. Mm-hmm. First initial thoughts, Angel?
Well, I just... How terrible. You know, there are people who are very proud of their the way they handle themselves in the streets, whether they are have multiple partners, whether they're not in a committed relationship. And I don't knock them. I don't have that capability as a woman to be able to, even if I wasn't married, to be able to have like different dudes and not care whether or not we were committed. But the way he talked down to her as if
he is somebody with any credibility to speak on relationships.
He's DJ Academics.
I don't understand how he's still on the platform. I don't get it.
I'm going to tell you how he has a platform in my mind.
Please.
It's the same people to me. Same people Kevin Samuels has. Mm. People who wish they could talk to people the way they think they could talk to them, he represents them, right? In my mind, niggas who probably never would be able to pull a Brittany Renner or a woman like her, or people who get rejected by women like her, would love to watch someone like Ak. Ak is like me, poorly built. Mm. At least I'm tall. No disrespect. You can see that. Mm-hmm. Him telling this beautiful woman, you a side chick and niggas like us. So, niggas like us?
Right.
Niggas like us?
that's people, what I'm saying.
Comment people down? In the comments that I was watching on Twitter, most of the men who were championing them were, yes, I get rejected as well.
Me too.
Big, you are our champion vibe. He goes at rappers all the time. He was going at Freddie Gibbs the other day. I don't think Freddie Gibbs is one of those rappers who is just talking about something he's not serious about. Mm-hmm. You know, he went at Meek, and I feel like he's the champion of the underdog, the guy who's in the YouTube comments. His group of supporters are called chat niggas. And I think that's who he represents, and I think those are the people who were championing him and his thing.
Wait a minute, is this the girl that was like on a university's campus?
Yes, we're going to get to that too.
Ah, okay. I was like, who is this girl? Yeah. I don't like his tone when talking to her, and I don't like that he's trying to put her down just because she's had multiple partners. And as if being a side chick in the world in which he's referring to it to
right.
is any worse than the niggas she's messing with. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's us. We in committed relationships, but we ain't committed. And we messing. Then we all in the same.
We're all doing dirt.
Okay.
It's like the drug dealer. It's like on The Wire when the drug dealer was mad at Omar.
Yes.
We all in the game.
That is exactly. That's what my are you only talking problem. About? I'm like, why are you saying as if there's some sort of hierarchy in this? Y'all all dogs. If we trying to like put any type of morality on it, like her not being claimed by one of these dudes that she's messing with that has a woman, does not make her worse than him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my
now
that was
for
my
this
thing.
Specific part about being a side chick. Mm-hmm. I don't think the people in the comments don't have to worry. People in the comments supporting him that I saw, mm-hmm. right. I don't think they have to worry about women like her. If she was their woman, that would be their main chick. I think you're talking about rappers and athletes. That's a different thing. But, you know, y'all ain't rappers and athletes.
Yeah.
Y'all is regular working Joes. You know what I'm saying? And academics is your champion to me. Here's the next clip. This is what we were going to talk about, but we just had other stuff. PJ Washington is the NBA player that I believe she had his baby. I'm pretty sure. Not 100% sure, but they talked about this interview as well, in the interview as well.
This is what I really get so annoyed about is like, so when do you as men take accountability? You're old enough to ride this ride. You want to fuck with me. You want to come at me. You want to fuck me raw. So why are we babying men who make decisions for themselves? Like I told you, I was on birth control up until I had a conversation with my baby father. So what do you think happened? So the I imagine I got to leg lock him. Let me stop. The maturity of men and women are different. No, stop. It's because men and women are held to different standards. Mm. Y'all want to look at a 20-year-old who wanted to I was 26 when I met him. You want to fuck with me? Here's what it is. Nope, like, stop acting like someone had to pull the wool over his eyes. I was exactly who I am right now. And stop, let me finish. I have no reason to lie about anything that I've done or the person that I... Okay, so this is what I really...
So what is she addressing right there?
The thing we're going to talk about is she trapped PJ Washington. She was saying she was going to go have a baby by an NBA player. Mm-hmm. And then not long after that, he got her pregnant. And people were saying, you trapped him. And she's like, I didn't trap him. Like, he's a grown man in the sense of he's over the age of 18. Mm-hmm. He made a decision to have a raw sex with me. And everybody knows, this her speaking, everybody knows... We talked about this in the bonus.
Yeah.
That sperm come out. Like Mark Zuckerberg looking for an egg.
Yeah.
You know, so she's like, why are y'all mad at me? I think, I want to hear your thoughts and I'll tell you what I think.
If he dove in raw, then you automatically, that's how I automatically assume. If I'm not using any protection and there's nothing preventing the sperm from entering my egg, my fertile ass is going to get pregnant. That's just, it is. It's point blank.
Got receipts to show for.
Yes, point blank and period. And any dude that is going into having sex that is grown, and this ain't their first time on the rodeo, and they didn't, and they did go to health class, they should know that too. Mm-hmm. That like, if I can't, even if she says she on birth control pills, if you are a man and you are wanting to have sex and you do not want to have children, it is then your responsibility to put protection on. There's no other way around that.
Now, there was another clip that I thought I pulled, but she said she was hanging around his games when he was at Kentucky, which brings us to our last part about her because I don't want to go past the segment. Uh-huh. She tweeted or she posted this on Instagram. Hey, Jackson State, hide your sons. This was about a month or so ago. At the ripe old age of 29 or young age of 29. And people were like, fam, is it not wild to you to be on a college campus looking for men at 29? If a man were 29 and was like, I'm on the campus of Spelman, hide your daughters, people would be up in arms. Mm-hmm. So why are they not up in arms up in arms when a woman is basically saying, I'm looking for a son, whether she was saying it in jest or en serio. The question was, is she wrong for doing something like that?
If my child were a basketball player at the University of Kentucky and this grown woman was on the campus saying she was looking for a basketball player, I will then be on the campus fighting her. Granted, I would hope that my children would make decisions that would not jeopardize their future. Yeah. But if somebody was on campus where my sons who are still teenagers, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I entered college at 17, or no. I just turned 18. Mm-hmm. But my best friend, she was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So some of my kids, like little Marcus might be 17 when he goes to college. I am coming and I'm throwing elbows to the nose.
You putting mama strength on her?
I'm putting choke holds.
You choke the baby out?
I'm going to choke that lady out. No, that's just inappropriate. That's inappropriate. Like, girl, if you can't play with the big girls in the NBA and go to All-Star Weekend where the real chicks go,
come on,
then you're not ready to compete.
Talk to them.
That's just what it is.
She's trying to beat them to the punch.
No.
She's going to the G League.
You got to. You are now, you've aged out of the league that you should, that you think you in. Because I remember the girls when I was in college that were getting with the basketball players, but they were the same age. That's when you compete for them. But when you grown, you got to go to All-Star Weekend where the other ones are.
That's the NBA of NBAs.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do. Like, and I knew that I couldn't compete with them girls. I said, I got to get a regular God-fearing man, okay? I never went to NBA All-Star. I saw the women getting ready. I said, oh, no. Is that how you shape?
You saw them getting out of the bus.
Is that how you shape?
Yes, that's how you shape with no Spanx. That's not going to be me. I can't compete. Let me get a God-fearing man. Who can love me the way I am? Because these girls had boobs and butts spilling out everywhere. The waist was all small.
Spilling out?
Yes. I said, this is, I said, it's time for me to go home. I sat there and looked at my movement watch, and I said, it's time for me to go home. I can't do it. And let me tell you, movement, those watches are fire, okay? Those are the type of watches that you want to wear. When you trying to be cute, when you trying to pull a thing or two, okay, in your age range, amen. And my favorite movement watch is this white movement watch. It's really, really sleek. Heck, I actually like to wear it as a bracelet. I don't even care what time it say on there. It's so pretty. And it's actually the perfect gift. If you are looking for something that's stylish, that kind of gives like a curated look to the person that you're giving it to, movement is where you want to go. They have hundreds of watches to choose from, blue light glasses, sunglasses, and fine jewelry styles to choose from. So it's good stuff as we go into the holiday season to stuff your stockings with or impress your family, you know. Sometimes when you in the gift-giving mode, you're trying to find something to let people know that you were actually being thoughtful and you weren't being cheap. Movement is where you want to go. And Movement is making it easy. Beautiful curated gift boxes, his and her gift guides, and free and quick shipping right to your door just in time for the holidays. Again, like I said, my favorite watch is this white. It's like a white ceramic watch. It has like this shine to it. It's a statement. I would consider it a statement piece. Like when you wear it, it doesn't just like blend in with your skin. It's like something that when you put it on, people gonna be like, oh, what's that? What you got on? You could be like, it's movement. You don't know nothing about that. But what we would like you to do is try the movement watches. They're designed in-house. They're super sleek. They're clean. They won't break your bank since they start at just $95. And watches can be very expensive. My husband loves watches, and I've spent a lot of money on watches throughout the years. Oh, he's getting a movement watch this year because not now one of his watches that I have bought him has been nicer than the watch that I got from Movement. Movement has almost sold 2 million watches in over 160 countries. So be the big winner this holiday season with a gift from Movement. Go to MVMT.com/crew with a K.
Crew with a K.
That's MVMT.com/crew with a K.
Crew with a K.
Join the movement. I would bust that girl in her face.
Yeah, apparently she was talking about in another clip. I thought I pulled that she had went to his Kentucky games and talked to him probably before he was of age, because I think he was 19.
Now she was talking to him when he was a teenager. She is a predator.
Oh, he's 23 now.
If she was grooming, if she was talking to him when he was a teenager, she was grooming him like a predator.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother piece. Y'all know I didn't know the full story. That's a whole nother piece. Now if she was trying to get him pregnant, if she was trying to get pregnant by him when he was young?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. I wasn't saying that.
You're not saying that. No,
I'm
but
saying
okay.
she was recruiting. She made it seem like she was recruiting.
Yeah, no, that's predatory.
Here it is. Here it is.
Say
it to
my face.
DJ, if you're watching, cut this part off, okay? I thought he was a cash out option. I was like, yo, listen, you've been with way more, no disrespect to you, PJ, I told you to cut this off. You've been with way more litter people. people who are more successful in their respective fields. You know, he's a millionaire, grandson, third. But I felt that, you know, I always say about women, and tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just fucked up in my thinking. Maybe I need to change it. You're getting older, and you needed someone, and you probably always wanted to have a kid, right? And you were like, hey, listen, this is the person that I'm going to not necessarily cash out with, but this is the one who will do this with me.
It's, like, really audacious of you because it actually just proves my theory that I've always been in it for true love. I've been with men with way more money, and if I was truly an investor and trying to cash out so I don't have to work again, let me finish. I would have cashed out 5-6 years ago. Men with a lot more.
I thought everybody had you as a side chick. I'm gonna be honest.
Okay, so that leads into the clip that we already
had. That was the preface of the.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't find the one where she said she went to his Kentucky games.
Yeah, that's foul. That is predatory. And as much as I don't want to continue bashing her, even though she put out a video, this is how now I know who she is. Her voice, it was her irritating voice that I remember. Mm-hmm. She put out this video that the Shade Room had put up where she was just like.
The one in the car?
Yes, mm-hmm. Where she was doing her vagina monologue in the car. Mm-hmm. It was so, you know, that's the best you got. I don't care. I'm a dirty person. I'm nasty. I'm whatever the heck she was saying. And I was like, oh, my God. You think this is your show? You think this...
This is her show, though.
That's what she really...
Social media is her show. We're going to talk about that later in the whole metaverse thing. Actually, let's just go into it now. It's in the docket for later. There's this thread about the metaverse, right? We talked about this on the bonus episode. That was just more about Facebook's name change to the metaverse.
Uh-huh.
But this guy in tech had an interesting theory about the metaverse that I wanted to share with you and Josh and the people watching at mm-hmm. home or listening.
Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty long thread, but please listen. This is Sean Puri, who is in the tech space. He says, what if everyone is wrong about the metaverse? It's not a place. It's a time. Yes, a moment in time. You know how in artificial intelligence, there's an idea of the singularity, the moment in time where AI becomes smarter than humans, the moment when artificial intelligence is greater than human intelligence. What it is the metaverse is the moment in time where our digital life is worth more to us than our physical life. This is not an overnight change or an invention by some Steve Jobs type. It's a gradual change that's been happening for 20 years. Every important part of life is going digital. Work has moved from factories to laptops, boardrooms to Zooms, friends from neighbors to followers. Where do you find like-minded people? Twitter, Reddit, Instagram, etc. Games, more kids play Fortnite than basketball and football combined. Identity, filters are the new makeup. Stories are your personal billboard to broadcast who you are. What matters more, what you look like in real life or what you look like on Instagram? He has a picture here, but you can't see it. The pic on the left is what they see, so that's what matters. Everything goes digital. Your friends, your job, your identity. And now with crypto, your assets are online too. Bored apes are the new Rolex. I don't know what bored apes are. Fortnite skins are the new skinny jeans. If everyone hangs out online all the time, then your flexes need to be digital. So if you play this forward another 10 or 20 years, we will cross into the metaverse, the moment in time where digital matters more to us than physical. Our attention used to be 99% on our physical environment. TVs dropped that down to 85%. Computers down to 70%. Phones down to 50%. It was out of order. Uh-huh. But anyway, basically I missed part one. He was saying everyone is wrong. The metaverse is a virtual place like in Ready Player One, but it's not a virtual world. It's the digital world. Then blah, blah, blah. Our attention has been sucked from physical to digital, and where attention goes, energy flows. If 50% of our attention is on the digital screen, then 50% of our energy will go to digital life. Today, it takes some effort to take our phone out of our pocket and look at it. Soon, some company will make smart glasses that will sit in front of our eyes all day. We'll go from 50% attention on screens to 90%. That's the moment in time when the metaverse starts, because at that moment, our virtual life will become more important than our real life. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Just like anything, it's not good nor bad. It's just a thing.
As long as there are extroverts in the world, I don't see this fully happening.
What do you mean?
I okay, so the whole concept of being an extrovert versus an introvert mm-hmm. is that extroverted people get their energy from being around people physically. In real life, yeah. right? Versus an introverted person needs to withdraw to recharge and yeah. be away from people. So I think as long as that there are people who need to be around people, mm-hmm. I don't fully think we'll plug into the matrix. I mean, I think we still have some ways to go. I feel like we're going to be even more digital, like, prone. But I do think there will still be a need to have actual human. I mean, just think about what happened during the pandemic.
Yeah.
We were all excited. We were excited about, oh, I ain't got to put on pants. I ain't got to clean my house. I ain't got to go into work. But then we started going stir crazy.
Yeah.
And we were like, I got to get outside. I got to do this thing. I got to the point people were, you know, hiding when they were having parties. There was nothing on digital.
We was like, parties?
What are you talking about? I just, no, I ain't been around nobody.
What you mean? You ain't been on social in a week. I wasn't in Palm Springs.
So I think both worlds will exist side by side, but there might be a real differentiation between the two where one might not reflect the other.
Yeah, I think this is kind of what happens with digital reality, social media. This is kind of why Amanda Seales, people thought she was a AKA. Like 20 years ago, you would know she's playing a character. Mm-hmm. But because of social media, a lot of times people forget there's yeah. real people, you know, behind the thing. And there's a lot of people who right now their digital life is more important than or I should say more interesting than their actual life. You know what I mean? So,
well, that's what I mean by I think there'll be a harsh differentiation between physical life and digital.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think physical life will not have a strong, I don't know, presence. There are people whose digital life, if it wasn't for their digital life, they would not have anything, I guess, to really look forward to. But there are some people whose physical life is still so dope that they're going to keep that part
yeah.
going, is I guess what I'm saying.
My thing that I don't know that will ever change, at least for me, Kevin, is like certain things. When comedy went virtual, I was like, I cannot do that. I need some physical thing. But I guess in part, it's, you know, keep your distance is like, which is coming back Thanksgiving, Christmas, ticket links coming soon. Two of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. But when you can have an experience without having to physically be there, it's almost like a hybrid. It's like a Prius of comedy. Like mm-hmm. the comedians are there and there's a physical audience there, but you don't have to be there to experience it. We talked about this before. Josh put me on to Travis Scott doing a concert on Fortnite, like as Fortnite uh-huh. guy. Mm-hmm. And then like kids were going to the concert yeah. in their skins. You know what I mean? And they're, you know, like the thing is for us, it's a little more difficult, but we get old. Mm-hmm. For our children, we talked about this all the time because we're all old. We rode ride our bike around the neighborhood. Uh-huh. You know where the location was? Well, you rode that bike around and you see where them bikes were. A lot of reason we did that because there was no way to play the game with our friends virtually. Yeah. If you wanted to play Mario Brothers with me or 007, you had to come to my home mm-hmm. or I had parties. To go to your home. You know what I mean? If we had the internet and ability, shoot, we could this segment this screen off. And that's why our kids don't do that. It's because we don't have to do that. Like, I mean, we didn't have that opportunity. And actually, games have been like, you can't play two players or four players on one screen anymore. If you want to play together, you have to be on another screen. Mm-hmm. And I think that part where I talk about my kids all the time, they have no concept at all of linear television. Like, no, actually no concept. They understand it. They have no need for mm-hmm. it. Their entire concept of entertainment is right here. Joe has a TV in his room that he only turns on when he's playing the game. All of his entertainment is on these. And babies, iPad, them kids born now, a lot of them kids is, they don't go nowhere without that pad.
They're like, where is it? But I, you know what? I still think that's still even personality. Little Marcus craves to be around friends. Mm-hmm. He can play video games all day with friends online. His preference is to have the person beside. It doesn't matter if they're just going outside to play basketball, which he is terrible at. He would prefer that over, and he likes video games. He yeah. wants to be a gamer. So I still think it's
personality. But see, Little Marcus is 10, 20 years from now. Little Marcus is still this age. 20 years from now, Lil Marcus will be what, 30 something? Mm-hmm. Little Marcus the Third. Even littler Marcus.
You're saying future generations that haven't
come
out.
It's future generations. It's Amar is going to be more technologically sound than any of the kids.
No. I'm not talking about that. Technologically sound, I know. But I'm saying the craving of what you need in life.
Yeah.
That is the part.
But you raise little Marcus on. Ain't no video games. You go outside and play. You're going to be in clubs. You are very different in the way than most parents. And then not most parents. A lot of parents ain't like you going to get off that game and go out into that world and breathe and scratch your knees. You know what I mean?
Get some dirt
but
in
like,
that
but
knee.
No, even during the pandemic, we let that go. We were like, you can't nobody come over. So we let him just fold deep into YouTube and video games. And he was like, hey, people, where are the real people at? I need to touch and see them. Even Amar, we went over to Tony Baker's house. Amar was like, cats, these are my people. He was all
about
it. He became
Dr. Evil?
Oh, yeah. And now, yes, does he love some Cocoa Melon? Absolutely. But if them cats, if it were between Cocoa Melon and them cats, he's going for the cats. He's going. He ran up on Midnight, like Midnight owed him money. And Midnight just stood there like, hey, bruh, I ain't got it. Amar was like, let me just stroke you then. Let me just rub on you.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people in the comments are saying the need for human connection won't just magically disappear. I'm not saying it will. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that you can connect with humans without being with there physically where you couldn't before. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of relationships and friendships have been found online, developed online, and then made physical. The whole notion of when we were coming up, you went to the club or you went to church, you went to the library to meet people. People don't have to do that now.
Awful.
Yeah. Can you imagine going to the library? Every what are you time? Reading? A book I would like to kiss. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a necessity anymore. People look at your digital footprint,
yes,
and decide
absolutely.
If you're interesting to them.
I think we're saying the same thing. I think digital will always be, I mean, not always be, digital is still going to get stronger and stronger. But the reason why this metaverse thing, I don't think will become as concrete as he's saying, is because even with being able to make connections digitally, people still end up having a long for the physical, the long for real experiences and memories together. Like, just being able to actually go have dinner with someone we're older, but even with my son, like I said, he would rather be able to have dinner, to like have me cook some HelloFresh and have his friends come over to eat. He would prefer that over than, hey, my mom cooked food and he's talking about it over his video game headphones. Let me tell you, this HelloFresh, I've been feeling real domesticated this week that Kev finally let us have some time off.
Oh, man.
I've been feeling...
Get your butts back on the road this Friday.
I've been cooking it up in the kitchen. My kids have been like, Mom, this is so delicious. To the point that Kai, I was using the recipe card last night. I made some tacos. And he was like, why are you using this card? Why are you looking at it? And I was like, because I want the meal to taste good, and it's telling me how much to put in there. But no, truly, HelloFresh has been a huge blessing to my family because with time and with not wanting to spend a bunch of money, HelloFresh answers both of those things. Also, they offer 50 different menu and market items to choose from every week, including vegetarian, calorie smart, and gourmet options, providing plenty of variety so that my kids are getting different meals and not the same old every single night, which can be boring. And then they become jerks and talk about my cooking like I can't cook. It's just they're bored of what I'm cooking. The other thing that I really like about using HelloFresh is that I do get to have my kids be involved with the cooking because my time is so short and the time that I have with them is very precious to me. I try to create little moments to have with them. So being able to have them grab the vegetables from the pitcher and hand them over to me so that I can chop them up, they actually get really excited because they feel useful. They're getting to spend time with mommy. And I'm actually really happy about them being able to spend time with me as well. But on a side note, if you don't have kids, let me tell you why you could benefit from HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a can't beat value. Even at a full price, it's over 30% cheaper than the grocery stores. And with this holiday deal, It's time to try for even less. Even less. Okay. If you didn't know this, Green Chef, which is another like meal delivery service, is now also owned by HelloFresh. And with a wide array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. And what I love is being able to switch back and forth between brands, especially like when we're trying to do more organic and just whole vegetables and stuff like that. Just being like, Green Chef, let me try you with your organic stuff. And now our listeners can enjoy both brands with a discount from us. You know what I'm saying? So go to HelloFresh.com/14SK.
14SK.
And use code 14SK.
14SK.
For up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. Y'all getting gifts too?
What are you talking?
Oh my God. Go to HelloFresh.com/14SK.
14SK.
Use code 14SK.
14SK.
For up to 14 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. And with the money that you save from getting HelloFresh, you then can spend that money on holiday shopping. But we still want you to save more money. That's why we're telling you money. About Honey.
Honey!
Go save money with Honey. And today's episode is sponsored by Honey! Now, we're all doing online shopping. I know for me, I'm about to start my holiday shopping. And because I'm on tour with these guys here, I don't have time to physically go to stores. And I'm not about to be going to malls and different places and then shipping the stuff back at home. So everything I'm going to be doing to purchase stuff for my kids and my husband and my family and my friends is going to be online. But you know when you're getting ready to check out and it's like, hey, you got a promo code. Do you got a promo code?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I want a promo code. I don't know if I got one. Well, Honey said, listen, let me look. Honey manually searches for coupons. It said you ain't got to do it. You don't have to manually do it. Honey, gonna automatically do it. Honey is a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. I'm telling y'all what. Honey is the shiz. Okay, so as far as in the decor in our house, I done told y'all this before. I was like, hold on, before I go ahead and buy this furniture, these curtains, these curtain rods, these rugs, let me see what Honey gonna do for me. And Honey said, Honey, I got you. That's what it said. And I saw them prices drop. There's $10 here. Okay, $20 there. Because furniture can be expensive. So when you getting 10% off something that costs $500, $50, listen, I want it. I want to keep it. So imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey scours the scours for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free, installs in a few seconds, and by getting it, you're doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/SK.
SK.
That's joinhoney.com/SK.
SK. Now, I want to be clear. What the guy about the metaverse thread is saying, he's not saying digital will replace human interaction. He was saying your digital life will be more important than your physical one.
Yeah, and I'm saying no.
I disagree. I think we're already trending towards that. I think the representation you have on social media and how people depend on it and need it for the beginning of relationships, I think a lot of people's digital self is capital. Look about your digital self, right? Before, your acting self, your physical going into places, auditioning and acting was how you made your bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your digital self, right? That chick Angel versus Angel Akita Moore, the actress, that chick Angel generates as much revenue, if not more, than Angel Akita Moore, the actress. If you didn't want to, right? And especially the path you're trending, and I know you have a love for it and all that type of stuff, but the way you're trending, your digital version of yourself, which is in your case very similar to your actual life, right? I don't think that's the case for a lot of people, but some people have carefully crafted whole things, you know? And I think your digital, that chick Angel part of your life, not replacing your physical, is equally as important, if not more important, than your physical, I'm in a personal space.
So what I'm saying is money does not become more important to me than the things that I have physically. If we're equating money as what's important, then yes, digital is more, has more important.
Mm.
But the connections that I have with the people that I love will always supersede.
Right. I don't think he's not saying that. I'm not saying that.
No, because you was like more important. And no. I'm like, for me, the digital part of my life is yes, the money generating side of my life. Yeah. Right. So it does have importance. But if that would all fade away, I would be okay. I would be like, I still got these kids. I still got this husband. I still got these friends. If my physical were to fade away, my friends, my family and stuff, and all I had was digital, I'd be depressed.
Well, I think that's
what I mean by it will never be more important, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. I disagree, but I get what you're saying. Okay. I think for the large part of society, like the pandemic especially, like we couldn't have human. I think, honestly, the pandemic fast-forwarded this more than anything. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have human interaction outside of people who lived with you. Mm-hmm. So our only connection point outside of the people in your home was digital. Also, there's a lot of people who don't have family.
You know
what I'm saying? So you live alone, you know, no matter how good your life is, without digital. And there's people even in the comments right now saying, bro, during the pandemic, my only form of connection was digital because my job, physical job, going into the job mm-hmm. or going out to restaurants and meeting people was all you had. And after the pandemic, I'm pretty sure that people are not, companies work remote should have been a thing a long time ago.
Yes.
I think it's going to be the starting point as opposed to an option.
Yeah, no, you know, and I think for some people, digital is more important. I'm saying for me.
Yeah, for you. I'm not talking about you. I'm more talking about society as a whole, not Angel specifically. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I don't think the metaverse could be this. It could be that even if you like, well, me and my kids, I made breakfast. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, yeah, cool. Anyway, we're going to this party online.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. That's all I think it is.
Yeah.
So moving on, this is late in the docket, Angel, so you're going to have to find out about this in real time. But trust me, you'll be able to form an opinion very quickly.
Yeah, you had that Britney thing late, too.
Yeah.
Like, this was not in here at 12 o'clock last night. Go ahead.
So this guy, Max, is nice. He's a basketball influencer, a comedian who most of his content is related to basketball-related stuff. He had this caption, if you live in L.A., be careful. I got robbed, but I'm still here, and that's what counts. I want to play this clip, he said.
To explain to y'all how I got
cussing.
I really appreciate everybody that's checking in on me. I really appreciate it. But basically, you know, it's Halloween. I'm walking out one of these LA clubs. I'm walking to the car. I'm on the phone. Three dudes with hoodies pull up on me with guns in my face, whatever. They hard. I get it. You know how it go. And they talk about, give me all your
Just in case you guys are listening on audio, this is a Waihite gentleman.
He's white.
Mm-hmm. I'm with all this jewelry and stuff, and they talking about, give me all your I'm like, yo, listen, I will cash at all y'all right now. I cash up y'all, 1,000 each. Just let me walk away. And they talking about, oh, you think it's games? You think it's games? We out here starving. Like, give me all your shit. And I'm like, well, if y'all starving, walk down to Subway with me. I'll get all y'all foot lumps. I'll feed all y'all. Like, and I'll cash up all y'all. So now they really for real. They putting their guns in my face more. I'm like, okay, man. I'm like, you know what? Here's my Rolex. Here's my Cuban link bracelet. Getting my iced out chain. And you know what? It ain't worth my life, so they can have it. But I'm not over here, you know, trying to hide your filth. Sorry for me. I'm just letting you know, if you live in LA, be careful, cause LA is not what it is anymore. If you famous, or you like to wear nice stuff, you know, and you out in the streets outside in LA, just you know what I'm saying, have security with you, or you know, be more careful, be more wise. And I have my bronze jersey on, so they probably are bronze haters. You know what I mean? Like, for real. So, but don't worry. I'm good. I appreciate everybody checking on me. I'm going to get my mental health right. I'm a little paranoid, but I'm going to wake up tomorrow, go to LA Fitness, hoop a low, sweat a little bit. But the man upstairs got me. We're moving forward. I'm here. That's what matters. I gave up my jewelry, and they can have it. But I'm still here, and I love y'all, man. Let's get it.
First of all, LA has never not been tricky. Second of all, I have insurance on everything that I own.
Amen.
If I'm not going to cash app you, why are you trying to flex on the, I'll buy everybody food, man. You guys want Starbucks?
I got a promo code.
What are you talking about?
To honey.
Sir,
would you?
Yes, that's a Glock. Yeah. Okay, real quick.
You have your insurance on your jewelry?
I know rappers that have insurance on their Rolexes, on all their VVS, all the stones.
I think that might be the most, and blessings to him. Glad he's okay. But the wildest part of that story is somebody has a gun on you and they like, we starving, and you're like, let's go to Subway. Not, no, nigga, not literally, not hungry in the moment. Life starving.
I'm not Oliver Twist. Please, sir, can I have some more? No, give me your stuff.
Did you really, like, the thing that's interesting, somebody pulled the blammy on you. Multiple. Give me all your money. I'm starving out here in the streets. Would you like a foot-long teriyaki? Oh, yes.
You know what?
That's just actually
the mail all fresh.
That's all I really needed.
That $5 does hit.
I really needed.
Let me get the tuna. I don't care what they say about the tuna. I still like it. You know?
I don't even want to do this,
that's
man.
That's what that tuna is the soup.
All I really wanted was that Italian bread. You know how they got that Italian. We got the cheese. The
Italian bacon. Urban cheese?
Mm, I just wanted time. That. Oh, the steak. You got extra meat? You get extra meat. I'll pull this gun off you right now.
Can I get the 2-for-1 cookies, please?
Oh, my God.
Subway isn't the restaurant to save your life. It's not the restaurant where you're like, oh, man.
Yeah. You really hit low on that one. You really Subway, did. Subway? Come on.
Why did you just say so? I wouldn't even have to pull the gun on you if Subway was on the table.
No, he's like, jackpot, guys. He's taking us to Subway.
It's $3, $5. They don't even do $5 foot long, by the way, anymore. Apparently, that's a big thing in Subway. It hasn't existed for a while, but people are just like, but I seen that commercial.
I saw the commercial.
It was like 8 years ago.
Now.
I put it on now and shut up. but the that is wild. If you put your gun on me and I don't have nothing to steal, you're going to get this Apple Watch and this ring from
Manly Bands.
And I don't even really wear my shoes out no more. After I put the orthotics in my shoes, I don't even switch no more. I know I'm getting old. I don't want to really pull them out. So I'm not offering to take you to Subway when you are asking for jewelry.
Right.
Give me your jewelry. Okay. I hear that offer. Counter offer. Cash app $1,000.
$1,000 or a $15,000 rolly that's on your wrist.
No, Josh. $5 foot long and $1,000. Sir.
You could at least take him to Boston Over or Barry's Pizza.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the least you can do. What restaurant?
You pulling a gun out on Earth. What restaurant are you willing... You're willing to go to prison for armed robbery.
Subway?
And your answer is Subway?
You're like, come on. Even Ruth Chris downstairs. Well, come on. We can do Ruth Chris. Come on.
Well, I'm just thinking the spot's open at 2 a.m. if he's leaving the club on Halloween.
You're robbing somebody right now. You can't just go from the energy and adrenaline of a robbery to, yeah, man, you know what? If you got a 20-piece McNugget right now.
Hold on. Most places are closed. What about we do brunch tomorrow, guys? Huh? Brunch, let's sleep on this.
No,
Let the anger down. Blue Jam, they've got great mimosas. The one
you
in Tarzana.
Do a rooftop vibe, we can go to Harriet's, you know? Great view, great treats.
I'm yelling like that girl who, spoiler alert, who was Robin Issa and them.
Oh, that was episode one.
And they know what it is. You know what? Go ahead. Just...
Yeah, I'd be screaming like the girl who was at. Just gonna have to put me down, and I wouldn't be screaming because I don't plan on giving you my stuff. I'd be screaming because I'd be like, that feels appropriate for this moment. That feels appropriate.
I don't think I'd be calm enough to think clearly of, like, if you want a chain, $1,000 Cash App and a foot long does not, it's not a fair trade,
right?
I might take the well, Benoit, they were like, give me the chain and now also the Cash App, and also I will take the Subway. Interestingly enough, the cookies are amazing.
Yeah.
Subway is, their cookies are solid.
If you were robbing somebody, you would be like,
guys, I was on my way.
That was the time of my life where doggone almost survived off of Subway. The $5 footlong was a blessing from on high. On a college campus, $5 for a footlong?
You said I can live off of this.
Man, I almost survived exclusively off of $5 footlongs. Chunky soup from, I had a Costco card in college. That was the best gift somebody ever got me. Chunky soup, Eggo waffles, and noodles. And $5 footlongs.
Sodium, just terrible.
Just sodium.
Talk about sodium. I used to live off of those little Wetzel bits. Here's the problem. So at PacSun, there was a Wetzel's right next door to us. Whenever they'd make them fresh,
it would
bleed through the wall.
You're like, I gotta have
And
one.
I had to, and I didn't have enough for the cheese, so I would just... like go crazy on the mustard because that was free.
Oh, man, that's just
the
sodium.
Amount of sodium.
Just pour salt in your mouth.
Oh, I think God. When you're poor, your body understands you're poor and is like, we're just gonna have to deal with the sodium.
Yeah.
Because I think about, I was talking about this before. I think about the stuff poor people had to survive on, mm-hmm. right? Poor kids. Mm-hmm. I ate SpaghettiOs one time, like 3 years ago. I don't know what I was doing. I had my niece or something. I was just like, I wonder what this tastes like now. Uh-huh. I promise you, I was like, fam, how did we eat this?
Cat food.
The meatballs yeah. in a SpaghettiO. Yeah. Mm. Monty is like, get out of my bowl. Right, that is my dehydrated beef.
That's got to be.
Nothing is supposed to last that long.
The ramen noodles, oodles and noodles.
Angel.
Oh, that, I would just break again. Them off.
Oh, you would just eat them hard?
What?
I ate them like chips before. We would put the pack in there.
I didn't have time to be making.
Shake it up. No. Crunch it and eat it like
put
chips.
Put the packet in, right?
Yeah.
No. Angel, are you kidding me?
That was chips for poor kids.
No. You all had water.
No.
No, we didn't. Yes,
that was a walking. No. That was a walking snack.
Yo, wow.
Those were like 13 cents from the commissary. Oh, yeah.
I know.
13 cents. My mom was like, you know what I could do with a dollar?
If I were to eat ramen right now, my feet would swell up. My feet would swell Listen, up from all that salt.
Let me tell you what's funny about ramen. When I went to Japan, it never clicked that ramen, mm-hmm. came from Japanese culture as a kid. Mm-hmm. That was just, you know, top ramen or whatever.
That was just hood food.
What real ramen tastes like in Japan to what actual ramen, it's like Panda Express from Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
Real ramen? It's amazing.
Hold on, Panda
Buttery?
Express?
Yeah.
Oh, I was hearing it the other way around. Like, you were putting Panda on that.
No, no, I'm saying, like that's no, how no, no. far I mean, it's a derivative for. But the dude who created ramen was like, I want to take this and make it for people like me who grew up with nothing. But now, sometimes I see that chicken ramen in the aisle and I make eyes at it. I say, man, you done got me through.
Little spicy mm-hmm. bowl joints? They're
the
not
spicy
bad.
During the pandemic, Melissa had to stop me. I was almost re-addicted. The spicy kimchi.
You get addicted to the sodium.
What?
Come on, man.
I was going, I'm buying them from gas stations. I'm sneaking out at night.
Was it the MSG? That gives it.
That thing was like, on that pack, it's like 3,000% above what you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
Gets you every time back here.
Listen, during the summers, there was full summers where I ate that I'm talking about 7th, 8th grade. Every day.
Yes. I had that thing down to a science, how long it was supposed to boil, how much of the boiled water had to go into the noodles. Then you put the powder on.
That's the key, Angel.
Because people be putting the powder in the water when they boil it, and it's just like, no, you're diluting it too much. Yeah. Boil it.
Amen.
Put the noodles in a bowl. Pour a little bit of so you have a broth.
Yes.
Then shake it. Shake
it's
that
the ratio is the key.
It's the key. So when I would get the ratio right, I'd be like, I'm a chef.
Listen, poverty and lack of access and having to eat that is where creativity is born.
Uh-huh.
Because you're like, I'm gonna have to eat this anyway. What else can we do?
Mm-hmm.
How can I make this more palpable? A little cheese, a little hot sauce, a little sliced up hot dog, a hot dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A little burn. You know what I'm saying? A little egg.
Well, you know what? That is the reason why when you look at comedians, you look at a lot of the people that are considered some of the greatest legendary comedians are typically either black or Jewish.
Mm.
And a lot of that has to do with the more people get pressed down and pushed in, the more creative they have to be in order to survive in their the predicaments that they're in.
Yeah.
So that's when you're going to get food that is just so tasty that really shouldn't be edible. You're going to get comedy that is so intelligent and so like thought-provoking that's not like just a regular knock-knock joke. Like
yeah.
That's why. That's that struggle food. Struggle food be cuisine.
It does. While you're talking about that, the Wayans said their best creative work is when they didn't have money.
Yeah.
He said that budgets and access to money is what hinder their creativity. Because they're making like, I'm going to get you sucker. They're like, bro, we don't have, how do you make it without the stuff? And for example, you can't get a stunt man
mm-hmm.
and the woman can't do the flip. So what if we just have a full man with a mustache do the flip, right? Like, that's probably not the idea.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you can't get them, we might as well make that funny.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Even I think about when you were doing, when I think about Kev on stage, few years ago before you became the Kev on stage.
Come on, everybody. It's Kev on stage.
Come on, that one. That Kev. When I think about your merchandise back then, the Nehu, the Faith, the Christians instead of Champion, the I'm Saved, but I Got Hands.
I never sold that.
No, you never did that.
There was never a website that
had
that.
You never did that. The R&B with the names of the people in there. Mm-hmm. All of those shirts were, not to say you don't put out good shirts now.
Well, but dreams don't die, boy.
That's because you got money. And them dreams said, well, listen, you can't.
Hot fire.
Them dreams don't die. That is a prime example. You got too much money and your creativity died. But, like, it is true. Like, if we go back to some of the old stuff that we did, the stuff is just, the creativity in it is better. But I'm sure even when you had all those shirts and you were, had, you know, not as much money, you were using ShipStation to be able to get them all out to your customers, to the people who wanted all these things. These shirts were selling out. Blessed, blessed, blessed. That was one of my favorite shirts.
Enough out of you, Angel.
Okay? ShipStation is where you need to be when you are putting out wonderful merchandise from all different channels. Marcus and I both now have merchandise coming in from different places. We're both, Marcus has Zoom In shirts. I've got my wing shirts. I've got Mama Likes boxes. We're about to release some home team, away team stuff.
We are?
Yes.
Can't wait.
And because we have to use so many different channels to sell these things, different websites, it can be kind of cumbersome. But ShipStation said, listen, baby, ShipStation, Tabitha Brown does. It said, it's going to be okay. All right? Don't you worry about it. Because I'm going to take your sales from all your different websites and I'm going to channel it and automate a bunch of your shipping and fulfillment actions, all right? So inventory managing and fulfilling orders and a growing list of definitely stressed out customers that are trying to get their merchandise in time can be so, it can be stressful on you and try to keep everything together. Well, with ShipStation, the hassle of shipping out holiday orders melts away, leaving you with happier customers and more freedom to run your business or enjoy some much needed time off, excuse me. So what I like about ShipStation is not only that it can automate a lot of the things so that you're not having to worry about missing orders from different websites, especially if you're doing some stuff on Etsy or you have your own personal website or you're selling it on one of these other websites. The thing that I love about it the most is that you get a lot of the discounts that a bigger company would get with shipping that you would not be able to get as a small owned business, right? So you can get discounts with international carriers, in like FedEx, USPS, and UPS, but you're still small, but you're getting like the discount of a Fortune 500 company. So not only is shipping easy, you can actually save money. No wonder 98% of companies that use ShipStation for a year keep using it for as long as they're in business. It's that good. So make this holiday season a little bit brighter with ShipStation. Use our offer code CREW with a K to get 60-day free trial. Just enough time to handle the holiday rush. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top, and enter code CREW with a K.
CREW with a K.
ShipStation. Make ship happen. Yeah, I think we're going to do away team and home team stickers. Something simple. People been asking for a little something.
Stickers, huh?
Just stickers. Something simple. I can't keep, there's too much merchandise to take places.
Are you ready for Black Friday?
Huh?
Are you ready for Black Friday?
I'm trying to.
I don't know if I'm going to have anything.
I'm trying
Black Friday
to.
Is a lot for small businesses. And people just get used to Amazon. They don't realize it. But you're used to Amazon shipping times.
It's a lot. Like, I want to put a hoodie in the Mama Likes box.
It takes a lot of space. It
takes up so much space and weight.
It takes so much space and weight. And I don't think it's going to be in a box this time because everything is order stuff is so far out.
And we're relying on China so much that all shipping, all things that come from China.
It's taking forever.
China really got us under their thumb when it comes to products for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is going to be a subscription bag. Go ahead.
So Spanx is valued at $1.2 billion in its recent deal. Sarah Blakely did something special to celebrate her team. Listen at this. Yeah. Her employees are crying.
$10,000 bonuses?
$10,000 to spend on the trip.
Spend on the trip. Yeah.
Two first class tickets to anywhere in the world.
That's about five.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
First, actually, could be more.
No, it's going
to
be more.
If you go first class from here to Dubai
I was thinking regionally.
No, she said anywhere in the world. That could be 25 grand.
Where are you going? Where are you going back to, or somewhere new?
Ooh, that's a great question.
We could do this after, actually. Go ahead.
No, we can do it now.
I don't want to interrupt the.
I'm going to Atlanta.
Stop it, Angel. She's like, I'm going straight back to Houston.
Angel would do something. Let me go visit my mama and keep the 10K. You'll do something like that.
No, I would go to what's that little island right near Australia?
Oh no, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
I might go to for 10K in the bank. The Maldives, these are the places that I haven't been that I want to go to. The Maldives is probably number one. Australia, I did want to go, but the more I research, all the websites start off with poisonous spiders and stuff. And I'd be like, why y'all got to tell me that every time? It ain't gonna be at the hotel.
They said you might die.
Seychelles. Tony Baker talks about when he went to Seychelles. He said it was one of the most beautiful places.
I sound like a black girl. Where's that at?
Off the coast of Africa.
Oh, okay, I was right. Sound like a black girl.
I want to go to Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Thailand. I want to visit Nigeria, Kenya, mm-hmm. South Africa.
This is just two first class tickets, so this is.
Oh, I'm gonna do the rest on my own. But it's the 10K.
That's
to all the employees, y'all. How many people work at Spanx?
I don't know.
Jeez. Man, they went crazy this year then.
Oh, my gosh.
She's donating all that?
Spanx has 100 employees.
$5 on taxes next year.
100 employees. She got that money. She got the money to do it.
How much is that she's, if you give them all 10K with 100?
That's 100,000? No. Million. 1 million.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Million?
Yeah. You add that one more zero.
Lord Jesus. That's too much just to be like, okay, goodbye, monies.
But Spanx is what, 1.2 million worth 1.2 million?
Billion.
Billion, I mean, oh, yeah.
She needs to get rid of
she
that.
She needs the write-off.
That's really actually not that much. Yeah. Comparison to the overall value. Right. This isn't a slight to her. I saw a video of a billion depicted in rice. Like, it starts with 100,000 and then basically 10 rices. What is the rices? Reese? 10 Reeses?
Rice.
How many? What's plural of rice?
It's rice. It's just rice. It's a whole lot of rice and smoke.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't give you some rice and you give me rice. Yeah. I have just more rice.
I would like some rice, please.
It's the singular like is not rice.
But I'm saying, hey, look at all 10 that rice.
Yeah.
10 There's pieces so of rice or 10 rice?
10 pieces of rice or 10 rice.
I can't. That don't sound right. Here go 10 rice.
Kevin.
Let me give you 10 rice.
Go, you got to just go with it.
You must have to say pieces.
Yeah.
Here go 10 rice, Angel.
Look at all the grains of rice.
Maybe grains of rice, probably.
It say rices.
It say rices?
Don't miss one thing. It's rices. It has no plural form.
So rice is deer.
Huh?
Deer. You know deer don't have no plural.
Yeah.
Okay. Grains of rice. I'm going to know. Y'all say rice is right. I'm not going to say pieces or nothing. I'm going to just
rice
say.
Rice is a mass noun. It has no plural form.
Okay. But I'm not going to say grains or pieces.
It's
I'm
like
say,
people.
People. So one rice was 100 grand. 10 rice was a million. And then you have to have, and it's like piles. You know what I mean? Like, 10. To make a billion, it was mostly a lot of rice.
Was that the Bezos comparison?
Yeah.
I was
and
disgusted.
Then it was Jeff Bezos. And the dude was just pouring rice after rice after rice. The amount of, and it made a million seem obtainable. Like, you just got to get 100 grand 10 times. You can do that.
You know, like, a million is attainable. This nigga be playing games.
A billion rices? But anyway, I think if more companies did stuff like this, People would come to work. You don't even have to do stuff all the time. What I know
for certain is that KOSS is going to eventually do something like that.
I would do something like this.
You will do something like this. Anywhere in
the world. I don't think we can go world right now. And the way y'all live.
To Comfort Plus.
The way who live?
Y'all don't have dreams of, if everybody was like, anywhere in the world to London. I probably could do, I also only have like 3 employees, you, Josh, and Greg. Mm. You know, the app, them is different employee. I got to start with people who started with me.
It would have to be a company based.
Yeah, first. This company.
Me and Marcus are going to do it for our business that we started, IS Corp. Where you want to go, baby? Where you want to go?
I could do 2 first class to Hawaii.
That's good, Kevin.
Come on, Kev.
I could do that.
Listen, I had to move stuff off the credit
Christmas
card.
Hawaii? Oh, yeah.
Christmas in Hawaii be expensive, though.
Okay.
Well, everybody maybe, else be maybe thinking
like
that
a,
same
maybe
thing.
Maybe like an off-season in Hawaii, off just season. For the sake
Christmas
of
Christmas in Hawaii celebrated in March.
Might be a little rainy, just stay inside.
St. Patrick's Day in Hawaii, everybody. It's huge.
Yom Kippur in Hawaii. What about Rosh Hashanah, yo?
I'll take any of it in Hawaii. You hear me? All of it.
Dia de los Muertos.
I'll be like, absolutely.
Listen, anywhere in the world during hurricane season. I got to pick the time, though. You pick the place. Let me
pick the time.
Fort Lauderdale, peak of hurricane season.
You come to Fort Lauderdale in August. It's beautiful there.
Isn't hot?
That's the thing, though, because I was looking at the Maldives for me and Lisa during Christmas, and the Maldives was like, oh, yes, please come now. We're going to tax you. You gonna live here.
Yes.
They be, whoo.
Yeah.
Woo, but I can get y'all to, now domestic, I get you anywhere you want to go.
Oh, I already know. You take us anywhere we want right. to go now.
You're lucky you're pandemic. We would have went to London.
You would get that go. Off miles. You'd be saving money.
Listen, when we could go anywhere, we went to Amsterdam for fun. Before the London show, we went from Detroit to Amsterdam. When we got there, we went to church. You know, just, the Amsterdamian. Mm-hmm. What do people from Amsterdam call you?
Y'all went to church to
Red Light District? Oh, we went and prayed for them.
No. Yeah, to prepare for the hands. Dirt and filth y'all about to submerge yourselves in?
No, the Great Commission has a good movement in Amsterdam.
Took Josh to Japan? Mm-hmm. He had a great time.
I want
to
go
believe
back.
It.
We
I
had a great
it.
Vlog in Japan. I love Japan.
I believe it. I believe it. Great I get beautiful Portland. Yes, okay, city.
Well, Portland looked like an apocalypse zone when we went there, too.
I don't think the way we had to move, the rotation of the room situation and all that,
Oh,
Angel wouldn't have. She would have quit the tour.
Oh, yeah, I'd have been like, so, hey, Kev.
You would have actually had your own room anyway because you're a woman.
That's yes.
True. There's nobody to
but
share with you.
It would have been at that residence inn that we left.
100%. Angel says she would have.
On my life, it would have been there.
Oh, I believe it. I said. Mm-mm. We pulled up to a Residence Inn, y'all.
In Dallas.
Oh, my God.
It was
God.
Tough.
In Addison, it was
Texas.
Addison, right?
Yes,
it was
Addison, yeah. Texas. I was like, huh.
That Redison.
I was not going to stay there. I was going to politely talk to you on the side and be like, hey, did you already pay for this room?
We walked through the first door, and it smelled like a smoker's convention.
The lady put her cigarette out on the counter.
And they luckily, by the grace of God, we walked up and they were like, we canceled your rooms. We was like, look at God.
Look at
I ain't never been so happy in my life that someone had made a mistake than when the rooms were canceled at that hotel.
I was going to pay you for my room to be like, I don't want you wasting money. So here is the money. But I won't be here. Okay. All right. I'll be all right wherever I am. Don't worry about me. Yeah, no, the Lord knew that this was the tour. He was like, baby girl, this is the one. You're going to be wore out tired, but you won't be in a prostitution house.
Somebody was selling butt for real in the daytime.
She had a cute booty, though, because her cheeks were out. It was early. I was like, it's 10 a.m. and I see your buttocks.
That was the matinee special.
Yes, she did.
Like, no lie, a butt piece was sold.
No,
right in front of the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Two butt and a size slide of breast.
Yeah, she was like, I got it right here. I was like, girl, I need to do squats. Because if we were in competition, you would
grab
win.
A little 6-piece of the Blazing Cajun from Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's exactly.
That's interesting. I wonder if prostitutes have, like, I know they have a menu of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's like, now listen, this is the... This is the 2 to 6. This is happy hour. Mm-hmm. You know, head is 30% off right now.
Not 30.
You get a side of head with a little handy. Think
they have Black Friday sales?
Coochie is 70% off today only.
I do think they have chef specials, but I don't think they give sales.
You can eat for prostitution, can you?
What do you mean? Some dudes probably ask.
You can't. Prostitute cool. You wouldn't taste
you,
it.
You really feel like that when you are like, I want to pay to have intimate time with somebody, that there's like a, but this thing I cannot do. No, I think people really are open. Yes. Yeah. Look at you, church boy. Bless your heart. You're like, that's, they don't do that.
Now, they don't kiss in the mouth.
This is not Pretty Woman.
Have you watched the movies that made us?
Yes, I was watching it this week.
We were watching it last night, me and Melissa. We watched the Pretty Woman one.
Yes, I watched that the night before last.
Mm-hmm. I watched Forrest Gump too.
What a film,
first of
right?
All, wait a minute. First of all, Movies That Made Us is about white men failing up.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. That's, I didn't realize
how many white men were in Coming to America.
Yes.
It was all white dudes and Eddie Murphy.
Of course. It was a black movie that got made. Somebody white had to be on that. Oh,
especially
to
in 1988 when they started filming, I believe, 87 or 88.
First of all, it was all white men going to USC. All white men getting funding to make terrible movies, to be given chance after chance after chance to finally get to their, like, opus. I'm like, yes. We can't even get the chance to fail, much less the chance to succeed, much less the chance to fail. It is
so many of those movies are really that story. I mean, it's still very interesting to what, like, because now you know the movies are wildly successful. Mm-hmm. But like, I was watching the Forrest Gump one last night, and the studio head wanted to cut the running scenes, cut the Vietnam part out for budget. So they made Vietnam in South Carolina, mm-hmm. and also Forrest's house and Jenny's house. It was all in the same area. Mm-hmm. Somebody in the South Carolina local government let them blow that forest up because they were making a golf course.
Oh.
And Tom Hanks and Robert Zemeckis were like, we need to keep the running scene, so we'll put our own money up, but you're going to get us points on the back end, more points on the back end. Mm-hmm. And they made $40 million each. Just for cut using their money, Jesus. In addition to the money they already make, $40 million more from that time when it was in the box office. Mm-hmm. Home Alone was supposed to be a flop.
Of course.
It was like a second biggest movie of the year. I think Pretty Woman was third. I don't remember what the first one was. But it was like, well, y'all, that must be nice.
Man, yeah.
These movie studios, Universal, I didn't know Universal... Their lot and amusement park, their coverage of space is 400 acres
mm-hmm.
in really? Studio City. It blew my mind.
It's huge.
400
acres? 400 acres, Kevin. And a lot of the stuff they use, they donate to the park for the tour or whatever. It's all like dang. Written off within each other.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, they was writing off Forrest Gump. It was like $55 million budget. It made like $350
million. $55
million at the time.
Dollar
at the time, though, that
budget.
Is.
But that apparently, even at that time, it was considered mid budget. There was like 10 movies that cost more than it on Paramount's slate.
This is why every time I watch movies, I'm putting together the budget in my head. Each scene, I'm budgeting the scene.
I can't
enjoy
a movie anymore.
That's why when you watch Squid Game, that first episode, I know you were like, Jesus.
When I be reading your script, I be going through.
Oh, no, I be telling the writer, sir, why are you putting that? They don't need to talk in a car. Take that out. Talk in the office. Soon as he wrote that, I was like, you got to. And they was talking long. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're going to have to rig the car on the outside. Mm-hmm. Sound man, going to drop a bag in the back. You got to get permanent. No, man. Why are they talking in the car? Let them talk by the car. Then they say, let's go to the restaurant. Then they be at the restaurant. We don't need to see them drive. We get it.
Yeah, I be thinking all of that. I'd be like, okay.
They need
to
be at that church.
Insurance, police escorts on the road.
Oh, yeah, man. Remember we were in D.C.? They had blocked off a section of a street.
A block away from the... White House, too.
Yes, they were blocked off. They were doing a period piece.
Yeah.
So they had all people dressed in old clothes. They had old cars
driving around.
And that was just the background.
That's just the background.
Absolutely not.
Oh, listen. I literally am constantly thinking of looking at the budget. That's why anytime I write, I'll be like, so it takes place in my house. And then, oh, it has a child. It's my child who has to learn the line. All right. Okay. Cutting the budget down always.
Listen, I be show writing and writing the show I'm working on in the real time. I'd be like, man, we have to have extras. The church is destitute. They got 11 members. Why? Because you get 12. You got extras. You got to feed all them people. Mm-hmm. You got a couple big scenes. Mm. That's it. Mm-hmm. In the pilot, in the finale. The rest, office, parking lot, church. Y'all watch it when it comes out. It going to be in that church. Like Tyler Perry do his stuff. Mm-hmm. Let's all come and talk in the place where I work.
Let's come talk here.
12 minutes gone. Let's go to your apartment and talk. 8 minutes gone. Back at the shop. Studios 22. Doing the
same thing, though.
Yes.
My boy was saying during the pandemic, Universal was shooting within the amusement park because nobody was in there. And they were like, why spend more money?
That makes sense.
Dang. That's why I've been out. Why be watching Insecure?
They got a budget budget.
What?
Man, they got a budget budget.
Oh, man.
This season?
Just costuming alone. I'm like.
Just color grading.
What is this? What you said?
It looks beautiful.
It does. What you said in the licensing they get for the music that's played. I was like, that's a real song.
They got.
Oh, that was another thing in the Forrest Gump one. Did you see that?
Before.
No, what is it?
The Paramount didn't want to spend the money on the soundtrack for Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. So they put all the real songs that they wanted as temp. And every time they showed it, they were like, yeah, this sounds good. And it was like a soundtrack of the whole time period. And by the time they were like ready to go out, they were like, we got to clear these songs. Because going and putting royalty-free music when you had Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Mm-hmm. And then you put in something.
You can't
talk about River Run. River Run number 5.
Listen, you cannot.
Not the fifth variation.
What it be like on Epidemic Sound. I want to use number 5, not number 4.
Drums. Click the no drums one. That one sounds more fitting.
What's the Creedence Clearwater Revival song that's always used in Vietnam movies? Is that Fortunate Son? Mm-hmm. This is it.
Uh-huh. Yep. Remember Hawaii?
Woo! You can't go into Vietnam on the chopper without that.
With the doors off. That stove.
This is when you meet Lieutenant Dan, baby. Da-da-da. I can't watch Forrest without
this.
Red white and blue.
This is.
Listen, ain't nobody gonna be able to see this afterwards. They're gonna rip it all the way down.
The whole part is gonna be muted. I'm gonna mute it myself. You're just gonna see us going like this.
Banner.
Woo! It ain't me.
Love me a good white song.
Yeah.
But anyway,
God, we're doing so good this episode, man. Dude,
Kevin don't care.
We knew the song, Kev.
I need to hear it.
Then you put it in your ear. Mm-mm. And then you sing it to us.
The people need to feel it.
I'm going to mute your mic. Next time you put music up.
Just like it.
I'm just mute his mic next time.
Mute. They'll be like, Kevin, we can't hear anything.
I'm not listening to Josh, Amir, you know. You know I'm going to do what I want to do.
That's exactly right.
All right. We love y'all.
Are we doing the bonus on Thursday?
Doing the bonus on Thursday at
1-ish. I don't know. 2-ish.
Ball and the Beautiful will be at 1:30, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's
Ball and the Beautiful 1:30. And then the bonus will be shortly after, which will probably be 3.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Be around 3. We'll see you in Oklahoma City if you're there this week. Otherwise, we won't. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you at the
conference. Bye.
Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another thing of fire. Here's another one. Yeah. Here's another thing of fire. Fire. Here's another thing of fire. With my boy Kev on stage. And that chick Angel.